And now for reading and writing and radio.
I had never had a birthday party. One of my sisters had had one once. She used to tell me about it. Guests had come. They'd brought presents. There'd been a cake, ice cream, too, and candles that she blew out. I dreamed sometimes about having a birthday party like my sister Joanne's. I was wearing a white striped eyelet pinafore and white anklets and black patent leather shoes, and my hair was long and curly. And I got presents, lots of them.
The author of that wished-for birthday party is Rosie Richmond, but it could be you.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Probably the most important day in your entire life, in everybody's life, is your birthday. Because if you hadn't had a birthday, you wouldn't be here. Your birthday is absolutely basic. Without a birthday, there'd be no other days to be important to you. And we humans have a way of observing important days to set them off from the ordinary. We celebrate them. We need celebrations to mark truly significant times of life. Usually these are the special transitions where we go from one stage to another. Birth, baptisms, bar mitzvahs, graduations, marriages, anniversaries, deaths. Yes, deaths too. A sad celebration, but a celebration nonetheless. For one definition of celebration is to honor by ceremony. But today I want to talk about birthdays, or more specifically, birthday parties. For we've all either had a birthday party or not had one, as Rosie hadn't. And we've all either gone to a birthday party or never gone to a birthday party. Rosie's story about the party that her sister Joanne gave for her was written in a class of mine last year. And I think it's such an interesting story that I'd like you to hear all of it. But first, I'd like to mention two other stories. And all three are about birthday parties and, by coincidence, sisters. You probably know the Frances books by Russell Hoban. Frances is a little badger, but she really is a little girl. And in A Birthday for Frances, it's not Frances's birthday. It's her little sister Gloria's. And Frances is very jealous that it isn't her birthday. Here's how it starts. It was the day before Frances's little sister Gloria's birthday. Mother and Gloria were sitting at the kitchen table making place cards for the party. Frances was in the broom closet singing, "Happy Thursday to you, happy Thursday to you, happy Thursday, dear Alice, happy Thursday to you." "Who is Alice?" asked Mother. "Alice is somebody that nobody can see," said Frances, "and that is why she does not have a birthday. So I am singing happy Thursday to her." "Today is Friday," said Mother. "It is Thursday for Alice," said Frances. "Alice will not have HRND, and she will not have GKLS, but we are singing together." "What are HRND and GKLS?" asked Mother. "Cake and candy. I thought you could spell," said Frances. "I am sure that Alice will have cake and candy on her birthday," said Mother. "But Alice does not have a birthday," said Frances. "Yes, she does," said Mother, "even if nobody can see her. Alice has one birthday every year, and so do you. Your birthday is 2 months from now. Then you will be the birthday girl. But tomorrow is Gloria's birthday, and she will be the birthday girl." "That is how it is, Alice," said Frances. "Your birthday is always the one that is not now." Well, the story goes on with Frances's jealousy, and instead of making pretty place cards with Mother and Gloria, she makes ugly ones, and she remembers the mean things that Gloria did in the past. She finally buys Gloria a Champo bar for a birthday present, but she says to her father, "Are you sure that it is all right for Gloria to have a whole Champo bar? Maybe she's too young for that kind of candy. Maybe it will make her sick." "Well," said Father, "I do not think it would be good for Gloria to eat Champo bars every day, but tomorrow is her birthday, and I think it will be all right for her to eat one." And even at the party, she talks to her friend Albert, and they discuss little sisters. And Albert says, "They are not much good. They can't catch. They can't throw. When you play hide-and-seek, they always hide in places where part of them is sticking out." And Frances replies, "They take your sand pail and your shovel, too. They pull the button eyes off dolls that have button eyes. They break your crayons so that there are no long ones left in the box. They put water in your mud pies when you don't want them to. I don't think many of them deserve a Champo bar." And you don't know till the end of the story whether Gloria gets her birthday present, the much-squeezed Champo bar, or not. The second book is called Monty Hates Lydia by Susan Pearson. It starts, "All week Monty had been planning Lydia's birthday party. Lydia was Monty's big sister, and she would be 10 on Saturday. The party was a surprise, and Lydia didn't know a single thing about it." Well, the story goes on. Monty's planned a lot of it and has even made the cake. And when the day of the party comes, why, Lydia turns out to be absolutely hateful to Monty. She starts off awful. Monty has set a nice breakfast table. She and her father have made waffles, and then Monty wakes Lydia up, and Lydia is grouchy. She finally comes to eat. "Happy birthday, sleepyhead," said Daddy, still in his doughy apron. "Happy birthday, Lydia," said Monty. "Open my present first." Lydia opened Daddy's present first. "Wow, my own easel. Thank you, Daddy." Then she opened Monty's present. "What is it?" she said. "It's jars and turpentine and rags to clean up from painting," said Monty. "And underneath there's 8 colors of real oil paints." "Oh," said Lydia. "Let's eat," said Daddy. "Yippee," Lydia shouted. "Waffles." She didn't notice the fancy pink table. And then as they start off for the day at the lake where there's going to be the surprise party, "Where are we going?" Lydia asked on their way out the door. "It's a surprise," said Monty. "We're going to the country, to Uncle Jack's lake." "It's not a surprise if you tell me, dumbbell," Lydia said. Well, here's another example. They get there and the friends are there and they begin playing in the water. "I'm it," Monty yelled happily. "It's no fun when you're it," Lydia complained. "You're too slow to catch anybody." So she's nice to her friends all day, but she's horrid to Monty. And the day goes from bad to worse, and at the end, when Lydia makes nasty remarks about the cake, Monty slowly and deliberately pushes it up right into her face, all the chocolate frosting. When I first heard my college students tell about this book, I thought, how awful. But then I read it, and I liked it so much that I read it to a class of first, second, and third graders, and they were all climbing out of their seats with rage at Lydia, and they cheered and cheered when Monty pushed the cake into Lydia's face. So you read it and see what you think, Monty Hates Lydia by Susan Pearson. And the final story is Rosie's that I started with, Joanne Throws a Party. You heard how Rosie'd never had a party and wanted one. Here's the rest. I'll have to skip just a little. "I asked my mother once why I couldn't have a birthday party. 'We don't have the money, honey,' she said. 'The welfare check doesn't come till the end of the month, and it never covers everything it has to. Look at you. You need new shoes. They were Joanne's, and now they're too little for you. They're hurting your feet. How can I buy presents and cake when you need new shoes?' 'I'll go barefoot,' I said, but mother laughed and shook her head. But then something wonderful happened. My sister knew I wanted a birthday party. She knew I dreamt about it. She knew I wanted a little gold rocket in the locket in the dime store. I'd shown it to her. 'Rosie,' she said, 'I'm going to give you a birthday party. Invite your friends.' I invited my friends, Sandy and Rena and Lauren and Charlotte and Penny. Joanne told me to tell them to come at 1 o'clock on Saturday, so that's what I told them, and they came. But before that, in the morning, I watched Joanne bake the cake, chocolate with white marshmallow icing. She had ice cream, too. It was next door in Mrs. Harrison's refrigerator. She had a freezer section. Mrs. Harrison had a telephone, too. She let us use it. She also had a fat husband who had only one leg, and he used to sit in a porch swing in the yard with his one leg up and the stump hanging and smile. But that hasn't got anything to do with the birthday party. Mother was at work. Grandma was at home. But we were left pretty much by ourselves because Grandma used to lock herself in her room with her schmatas, which means old rags. She embroidered them. They weren't all old rags. Some were new dish towels, but they were mostly old rags. Her room was full of them. Joanne and her friend Janet, who lived 3 units down, left right after Joanne finished icing the cake. They were going to town. Joanne said she was going to buy me a present. She said, "Don't you dare start that party till I get back." Just because it was my birthday and she was giving me a party didn't mean she had to be nice to me, too. Joanne was big and mean and tough. She wasn't afraid of anybody or anything. Mother was afraid of her. Grandma and Joanne, though, were probably evenly matched. Grandma was mean, too. Judy was my other sister. She was older than Joanne, and she was never home. They hated each other. Grandma hated Judy because she looked like my dad. She spit in her face lots of times, Judy told me later, but Grandma was nice to me. I was the baby, and that's what she called me. Baby, and Fagala, means little bird. She said it did. She embarrassed me to death going out in the neighborhood calling, "Fagala, Fagala, come home, Fagala," and the other kids would call me Fagala, and I'd just die. Grandma and Joanne got along fine. They respected each other's meanness, but I keep getting off the birthday party. I watched the cake. I didn't dare touch it, but I wanted it real bad. I was so excited, the thought of actually getting a birthday present, a new something, a new anything, was almost more than I could bear. I just sat and thought about what present Joanne was going to bring home to me, and what it would feel like to open it and have something somebody had bought for you that was going to be all your own. We didn't pray at our house, but I sometimes prayed secretly, and that was one of the times I really prayed. I created a picture in my mind of that little gold heart-shaped locket, and I prayed. My friends came down, Sandy and Lauren and Rena and Charlotte and Penny. Grandma was in her room. We looked at the cake. Nobody dared touch it. They were all afraid of Joanne, too. We waited for Joanne and Janet to get back. We waited. We waited. We waited. We waited. It got to be 2 o'clock. It got to be 2:30. It got to be 3 o'clock. I was sure she had forgotten all about the party. She'd gone to town and probably gone to a movie instead with the money for my present. I was mad. I was hurt, disappointed. I was embarrassed. I was supposed to be having a birthday party, and my friends were here waiting. We could see the cake, and we couldn't touch it. There weren't any games. Oh, we tried drop the clothespins in the bottle, but I was too upset to get into the spirit. Deep down, though, I trusted Joanne. She wouldn't do that to me, not on this day. She was as excited about throwing the party as I was about having it. Mom always said, "Joanne has a good heart," and deep down I knew that. So I began to worry that something might have happened. And then she came. She burst in the door, and she said, "Cripes, man, me and Janet just found a dead man." Janet was right behind her. We crowded around, and they told us all about it. They'd been coming back from the dime store, and they jumped over the cement wall there by Producer's Dairy, and laid up against the wall by the tracks was a dead man with blood on him. "Just plopped against the wall," Joanne kept saying. "We didn't know whether he was sick or dead, but he wasn't breathing, and his eyes were rolled back and all open, and we were scared." It took a lot to scare Joanne. We were all petrified just listening to her. We could see she told it so well. We started to run, and as we were running down the tracks, there were these 2 men coming. They were wearing hats. They yelled at us, "Hey, you kids!" We turned around and ran the other way, back past the dead man and over the wall, and we hid until it was safe and the men in the hats were gone. The birthday party was forgotten. The locket was forgotten. We wanted to see the dead man, too, not just in our heads, the way Joanne told it. "Take us back there! Take us with you!" we cried, because we knew Joanne was going to go back. So Joanne took us with her. All the way we kept a lookout for the men with the hats. We got to the wall, crept up to it, and peeked over. The dead man was gone. Joanne was mad. She thought we'd think she'd been lying, because she did lie, lots. "He's not there," she said, "but look, here's the blood where he was." We all climbed over and stared at the blood-stained wall. It was even still wet in a crack at the bottom. We believed her. "Cripes," said Joanne. "Let's go home and eat the cake." So we did. We got the ice cream from Mrs. Harrison's refrigerator. A couple of the kids were still mad because they couldn't see the dead man, but really, I think we were all glad because he wasn't there, just the bloodstains that meant he had been. And they didn't stay mad because we had cake and ice cream and there were 8 candles, and I blew them all out except one with my first blow. Then came the time for the present. "Cripes," said Joanne, "what'd I do with it?" I started to cry. "You didn't lose it?" "Hell no, I wrapped it in everything. It's got to be around here somewhere. I threw it when I came in the door to tell you about the dead man." We all started hunting. I was the one who found it. It was underneath the couch. It was all wrapped in pink and white and silver-flowered paper. It had a white curly bow on it, the kind you curl with the scissors. I wanted to open it, but I didn't want to open it. I wanted to just look at it, my first present ever. But of course I couldn't do that because the kids were all crowded around me waiting, and Joanne was too. So I opened it. It was the golden locket, the prettiest locket in the whole world, heart-shaped on a little chain, and it lay in a little box with red velvet backing. I cried. That was my first present and my only birthday party. I didn't have a white eyelet pinafore, and I didn't have white anklets with no holes and black patent leather shoes. There weren't lots and lots of presents, and my hair never did curl. I don't know to this day where Joanne got the money for the cake mix or the candles or the locket. Maybe she charged the cake mix on our food bill down at the corner grocery. Maybe she shoplifted the locket. I don't care. I do know it was the best birthday party anyone ever had, and I loved the locket, and I loved Joanne. After that, none of us ever went past that wall without seeing the dead man there and the 2 men with the hats. Janet says she dreams about him still. So, birthday parties. I doubt if any of us ever found a dead man or had a cake pushed in our face. We've probably had a jealous sister or brother, though. What's your birthday party story? A special party for yourself? Or never any party? Did you ever go to a party that you've never forgotten? Did you ever help put on a party, as Monty did, or as Teresa Beach of Grant Middle School in Springfield did, though with happier results, when she planned and put on a surprise party for her grandmother last year? How about unbirthday parties, as in Alice in Wonderland? Every now and then, when we feel the need of a celebration, we throw an unbirthday party. And have you ever had a half-birthday? One of my kids has a birthday so close to Christmas that sometimes we celebrate it in the middle of July and have a half-birthday party. Birthday parties are supposed to be happy celebrations, but alas, as Monty's, sometimes they aren't. Maybe you'll choose to write about a party that made you upset. Maybe you've been Francis, unwilling to give up the Chompo bar to the birthday girl. Or maybe you were Gloria, the birthday girl who was supposed to get that Chompo bar. Whatever, write out your birthday party story. And happy Monday to you.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.